This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Hugh Plowman CC. Plough on, guys. Thank you too much.
No, we didn't win the link by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bologna bouncer, which went for six. So.
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.
Hello and welcome to the Thanks for Coming podcast. My name's Liam and I'm joined here on Zoom from somewhere across London by my co-host, our very own Matt Spencer. Spence, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
Hello mate, I'm very good, thank you. Gutted that I missed out on playing cricket this week, but I felt like I was there in very much spirit. Loved the fireworks, loved all the chat this weekend. I'm excited to get into it with you and our very special guests.
Absolutely, you'll hear more about that as the show goes on. And as you've alluded to there, and as we like to do for our listeners on the Thanks for Coming podcast, we're joined today by two incredibly special guests. One joined us on Zoom from across London. That's Max. Max Wright, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thanks very much, Liam. First time, long time. Really nice to be on the podcast and looking forward to this next hour or so.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for joining us today. And also on Zoom, from across the world, joining us from Kenya, we've got a friend of the show, Freddie Mills. Freddie, hi, welcome. How are you this evening?
I'm very good, thanks. Delighted to be joining the show finally. Long awaited debut.
Welcome, thanks. Spence mentioned some of the things that we're going to be talking about later. We've got a league game at Ottershaw, which I think by now most of you will know the outcome of. If you don't, I don't know where you've been hiding. We had two friendly games on Sunday that we'll cover off, along with fantasy updates and any other nonsense. But before we do that, let's find out a bit more about our guests. So, Freddie, you've been on the show before, but it was a long time ago, and it might have been under a slightly different format. So tell us, when did you join the Plough? Who introduced you? How did that come about?
I joined as a sprightly young 19-year-old, where, believe it or not, I was a lot fatter and sweatier than I am these days, and a lot worse at cricket. I joined because a mate of mine, Rory Stewart Richardson, which some of the Plough will know, a lot of the Plough would have heard about, but he got me involved, got me to come down. And actually, I think it sort of sums up the Plough for me, the way that I sort of was introduced to the club. He told me to come down and I was pretty shy and nervous back then and didn't really want to play without him being there. And after we played the first game together, it was all great. And in the second game, I think he pulled out on a Thursday or something, which then made me very nervous to play on my own with a bunch of guys I didn't know. And that bunch of guys was the old guard, you know, Rich Buckley, both Ridgeways, Coxie was still playing, I think Si was playing, Leon, people like that. And so I thought I can't really pull out, so I went down anyway and immediately felt right at home, had a wicked day. In the game, I think I got pulled off for bowling 2 no balls or 3 no balls, on purpose or not is to be debated, sure. But I just felt right at home. It's one of the best teams I've been a part of throughout my whole life, really.
Nice one, Freddie. Hard to imagine for a lot of people who will know you, your shy, nervous self there, unsure about whether to turn up without your mate to hold your hand. But it's great to hear that, like, the journey that you've come on. I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about that, how that journey progressed in the show. Max, same question to you. How did you come to join the club? Who introduced you? How did you get here?
Yeah, so I was rather like guests last week, Mo Khan and Yanni. I was a website recruit. So just emailed about 4 or 5 different clubs in South London. Basically looking back into cricket after a few years out and obviously post-lockdown and stuff, meeting a few new people in London, and got other messages from other clubs saying, oh, just turn up to one of our matches, here's the availability email. And then I got an email from Ash saying, we like guys who drink beers and good blokes, and if you can play cricket too, that's a bonus. And I thought, yeah, that's probably my sort of vibe for what I'm looking for at the moment.
Ashish Paul, friend of the show, doing bits to help out on recruitment this year as well. That's great to hear. So you've both been at the club for a very different amount of time, but I'm interested in if you've got any main highlights or standouts from the time you've been here. So Freddie, you first.
Oh, there's so many. Tours are always a highlight of every single year. It's a weekend that I always look forward to, and something happens which sticks in memory on every tour. Paul Hines will attest to that in Malta. Less said about that, the better. But then obviously the two league wins which I was part of, huge moments for the club. Absolutely loved all those seasons, the whole way through both seasons. Actually, you know what? Coming back this summer is a massive highlight for me as well. Like meeting all the new guys and just seeing that the club hasn't changed at all from the club that I know, and in fact has you know moved on and just got better, if anything. So that was a really cool few weeks meeting everyone and seeing all the old faces again as well. It was really nice.
Beautiful, Max. Same question to you.
Yeah, as you said, it's only been a much shorter plough career for me so far. But I think similar to Yanni last week, it's going to be, for me, it's other people's highlights that have been my highlights. So playing my first game, opened the batting with Cake and he got a ton. And then Trent took a 5 for and I caught the 5th wicket. That was a pretty cool debut. And then took a nice one-hander in my next game as well. So that was a good personal highlight. I mean, it says a lot that my fielding's my highlight so far rather than the actual batting. But yeah, so it's been a great time so far. Every game's a highlight, really, in a way. Maybe the less said about Sunday's game, the better, but we'll come on to that later.
Nice one. And I'm sure your time will come with a bat. I've seen bits of promise already, so I'm sure that's just around the corner. Final question before we get into the weekend's games. And this is a question I love to ask and just watch people squirm a little bit. So, Max, you first. Who is your favourite player?
Yeah, since I got the call up for the pod, this has been weighing on my mind greatly. A couple of quick shout outs to Grant. He's been my captain, I think, most of the games I've played. Really helpful, really kind, welcoming. Bob Keogh, same, been a helpful guy. But I think I'm going to have to go for the chairman of the Breakfast Club, Leo Connolly. He's a cracking bloke. He was very welcoming in my first net.
Friend of the show, Leo Connolly.
Indeed. He was very welcoming in my first net. Similar, even though he's a Spurs fan, he's a good bloke.
Alright, nice one. Shout out for Leo there. Freddie, what about you? Who's your favourite player?
Same as Max. I've been thinking about it quite a lot since I got a call out for the show. And a number of names gone through my head. Also, I know more plough than most, actually. But I think, you know, the main standout person for me is Nick O'Dowd, who's captain before myself. We're very, very close mates. He's still part of the plough group, although he's been in Australia for the past 5 years or whatever it is. Yeah, he's definitely my number one, I think.
Fantastic man, Nick O'Dowd. And he's left an imprint on the club as well from his time as club captain here, definitely. The way that he pushed a certain culture and mentality in that. Great shout out. Serious batsman as well. Hi, Nico, if you're listening. Okay, thanks, gents. We've learned a little bit more about you. We've eased into this one. Now let's get into the action.
So last week, we left you with the news that the league boys would be heading down to Ottershaw Cricket Club, where they'd be ending their league season, and they needed to get a win in the bags to be champions. Champions of the Premier League, champions Div 1, champions of Div 3, making history. Liam, you went to watch history happen, did it?
Yeah, I was there to see history unfold. So amazing Plowman's performance against a very familiar opposition and a brilliant opposition in Ottershaw at Ottershaw's home ground that we all know inside out. And fantastic game really throughout from Plowman's. Brilliant bowling. Lonan was captain, bowled first, brilliant bowling throughout. Restricted them, stopped them scoring runs on that massive field with a quick outfield. Managed to get them all out after 30 overs and then chased it down with not too much difficulty, I don't think, really. We got over the line, so it's a brilliant win, and it's the culmination of probably 6 years of effort, really, have gone into that. And at this point, we're gonna go and speak to Ashish Paul, who did play in the game and has played in a lot of the games this season, and he's gonna run us through that in a little bit more detail and really capture what it was like to be there on the day.
So I'm here with a man who needs no introduction, a legend at Plowman's, one of our finest players, Ashish Paul. Thanks very much for joining us on Thanks for Coming podcast.
Oh, thanks a lot, Liam. That was very flattering. Thank you.
So you were there on the day. I saw bits of it. But you don't get the same feel for a game if you're not actually playing, if you're not on the field. So thanks for joining us today. First thing I want to know is, when is the, like, guy like you, you've played a lot of cricket, you're going to handle a lot of pressure. When is the first time you start thinking about that game properly?
Well, I've been, you know, games like this, you would think of a game like this throughout the season, right? It's a league game. Sometimes you win it. Sometimes you win it before the, you know, before the last game of the season. Sometimes it goes down to the wire. And this season, it's gone down to the wire, which makes life even more exciting. So, yeah, we've been ready for it from day one.
Friday night before you go to bed, are you thinking about the game already?
No, I don't think much, right? Friday night, I was with a few plow, and then we were having a nice time, and we knew we'd be ready for, you know, when the call comes.
So yeah. You get up in the morning, it's a long way to Ottershaw, you're getting your stuff ready, you're getting ready for the journey. What's going through your mind? Are you thinking about the match at this point, or are you still chilling?
Normally, under normal circumstances, I would, but this was a special occasion. So I woke up in the morning, and next to me, lying nice and, you know, Daisy, was Duray Pretorius, because he slept. So yeah, that's how my day started, and I did offer him a cup of tea, and then he had a cup of tea and took a shower. We travel to the game. London offered us a lift, which was quite entertaining. He was angry dad on steroids that day.
And there are some videos going around on the socials.
Absolutely.
If anyone wants to see a little bit of London in action during that journey down to Ottershaw. But Ottershaw, familiar opponents of ours, rivals and friends, they have been described as before on this podcast. So we get down to the ground. Everyone's there, big occasion, and I think we lost the toss, and we've been asked to bowl first. So
yes,
how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
I think with a team that we had that day, we were comfortable whether we would bowl or bat first. But given that how we have done well bowling first, I think the talk in the team with Lonan and the others was that if we win, we will just bowl first. We lost the toss, but the OPA wanted to bat first, which is equivalent to us winning the toss. So, you know, happy day.
And it's also an interesting decision from them when you think that over the years, they've never beaten us. And we always bowl first against them. So you'd think maybe they'd try and mix it up a bit. But anyway, go out onto the field. The atmosphere is electric. How did Tom Lonan do as captain? Obviously, he's captained Plough for many years, captained many games. Asked to step in this crucial moment, how did he go as skipper?
Well, it was nothing new. He's done this, you know, for many years for the club. And for him, it's just a different day, a different year. And, you know, same thing once again. He just, you know, normal pep talk, saying that this is an important game of the season, which obviously everyone knows. But, yeah. We went in very excited. He did ask, is anyone nervous? A few hands were raised. But other than that, to which Lonan said, you know, you use it to our advantage, leverage the nervous energy and, you know, ball one onwards and just get in the game. And then, yeah, we did.
Brilliant. So you really, like from the sidelines, you really brought that intensity from ball one and it didn't drop at all throughout. So you opened up with Ollie Lonsdale. You've done it many times before. Ollie Lonsdale, maybe not quite so many. How did that partnership go?
Oh, no, before I get to the partnership, I think you were the Beer 11 skipper that day, and you walked into the pitch with Brito. It had the body language of, if you watch Peaky Blinders, like, we are the fishing Peaky Blinders. Come here to win the game, and your new hairdo suits it as well. So yeah, we are the Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
So coming back to the game. So yes, I open up with Ollie. I have been waiting for this for almost 2 years now, to open the bowling in a league game with Ollie Lonsdale. Always liked him. The day I saw his bowling, I've always liked his bowling. So yes, we did open. I was very well. I was bowling against the wind. Typical. I thought if I just put it on the spot, disciplined, for lack of a better expression, typical Catholic girl school output, line and length, very disciplined. And yes, on the other side, we have Ollie Lonsdale, who was like in India what we call a, he was taking wickets like a motherless child. Like, stop it at some point, right?
Okay, I'm not sure on that reference quite there, but we'll go with it. It's a bit of a success story for the Plough and for Ollie. Like, he's come a long way. We've supported him, yourself very much so, and others within the club have supported him. And it's one of those players we've helped to develop. And on the day, he was just phenomenal, wasn't he?
He was. Actually, this season, he has been phenomenal. I think he, even if you see, probably he's one of the best ones in the fantasy league as well. And that numbers don't lie. As simple as that. He's been bowling very well in the league. He's been bowling very well outside the league. And, well deserved. He took Fofa, which I did tell him, you should carry on, mate. And then Lonnon talked him out to take him off, to take himself off. And then, yes.
I guess the decision there is probably thinking, when someone's bowling like that, it's always good to have two overs in the locker. Depending how the game unfolds, you can bring someone back. So I get that,
mate,
side of it as well.
That's not the case, mate. I think Lonnon, the previous game, Bush and I bowled, and we took all the 10 wickets, and Lonnon couldn't get to bowl. So he said, "No, mate, not having that again. I'm the skipper.
He wanted a piece of the action."
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
But bowling's about partnerships, Puff. I don't need to tell you that, but our listeners out there should know that really the job that you're doing at the other end, metronomical, putting the ball on the spot, creates that pressure. We're Plowmans, we've done it for years, you've done it for years. And that was just a brilliant opening spell, opening partnership with both of you, and set the game up. And then, as you say, Lonnon came on, and some of the other bowlers as well. He changed it around a little bit, and really comprehensive performance. Tell us a bit more about how the opposition innings progressed.
Yeah, just before I move to the opposition, I must mention that when I was taken off the bowling, I was replaced by Chris Roden-Smith, who bowls very similar to what I do. So it was like puff in different colours and bells and jingles and all that. And the Opo didn't know what to do. Exactly. The Opo didn't know what to do, so that was fun to watch. Yes.
Yeah, he's done great for us this season as well.
Yeah.
Big occasion for him. And it I is. Know that he was feeling some nerves before the game, which is normal. First season at the club, and really handed a big responsibility there. But he bowled brilliantly, didn't he?
He did. He was awesome. Yeah.
So you've got that. Lonnon, I don't think, well.
Oh, well, Lonnon. So I'll just talk to you. So I bowled for 5-6 overs, got none for 21. Ollie took 4 for 27. Chris bowled brilliantly, went 2 for 36 off 8 overs. Lonnon, as usual, 2 for 35. I think Lonnon went for more runs because I think one of the batsmen just took a wild swing and just connected. And the innings, Ossenshaw innings, was concluded by Duray, who took the last wicket, denying Ollie off his fiver.
Yeah, Duray, brilliant. And the fielding was great on the day as well, right?
It's us always, right? I think the last two, three seasons, the Ploughman's fielding has been top-notch. I think, you know, each and every one of us, with the exception of a few, myself including in that few, has been brilliant, right?
Yeah, we really brought the heat. Really brought the heat and just squeezed it out of them. I thought London's field placings and that were brilliant on a massive, huge outfield with a big slope on it and a quick outfield. You know, just to come into that, I thought his field placings and that were brilliant. He cut off runs where he needed to. He created pressure. He attacked. I thought, shout out to him, because I thought he did brilliantly there on a less regulation kind of cricket field. And as you say, really, really good fielding performance. Feeling quite confident at the break, but there's still a big job to do. We know that Ottershaw have got good players. So what happened when Plammers went out to bat?
Yeah, so we knew they had a couple of good bowlers from the home game. And Iskander went on to bat open with Britta. And we thought, okay, let's be careful about this and, you know, bat nice and slow and easy. We're not chasing too many, 150 odd. I mean, we'll take it nice and easy. And second ball of the innings, Iskander just cream one. Cover drive, shot of the day on the second ball.
Right on the floor. It was a glorious shot.
And I said, man, I would have loved to see that shot probably in the seventh over. I think he speak too early. Yeah, he was unlucky. The pitch was had uneven bounce when we batted. So I know everyone says this, but generally it had really odd bounces, that pitch. And Iskander got unlucky. I mean, you know, we all know how he plays, very strong on the offside. He's almost like a right-handed Ganguly. And yeah, he went on to score a few runs, got out for 15 to a ball that stayed low. Then Britto got unlucky as well. He just won runs. I mean, you know, I think Britto this year, I mean, the man has scored 10,000 runs for the club, right? That speaks volume about him.
Brilliant, man.
And we all know we've played cricket enough to know that sometimes you just have a bad year, and you know, I'm sure he'd come back. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got one that really shot along the floor, didn't he, on the day?
He did, yes. And then he got out, then Barras came into bat. Barras has been brilliant this season with ball and bat. On this occasion, I think it's the first time I've seen Barras miss a straight one, which he admitted to. So unlucky.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But really, you know, for me, the day belongs to Chris Butlin. He was just like a solid rock on a very difficult pitch to bat. Kept low, yeah. It bounced. And I remember there was a particular time when me, Tom, and you were sitting at the bench just opposite Chris when he was batting. Yeah. One just kept low on, you know, 9.5 out of 10 times, everyone would have been clean bowled to that ball. But Chris, front foot, defense, bam.
Yeah. Yeah, he's class. And on the day, there was a big partnership, right? So he did phenomenal. And he was well supported by really a guy who has probably performed the best with a bat out of anyone in the club this season.
Absolutely. I think the combination of Chris Butlin and Max Gumpert kind of like really messed up the you know, the bowling unit of Ottershaw.
Yeah, one, they're so different styles,
exactly.
Haven't they?
They're like, you know, you're like two, you know, ends of the spectrum, right? One is classic front foot defense. One is he bats 3 yards in front of the stumps and just whacks you everywhere. So, you know, it just messed up the length of the bowler. And yes, when Max came in, you know, typical Max, he would come, score at a very good rate. He made 40 odd that day and hit the winning runs. And, you know, and the league came to us.
Brilliant from him. Brilliant from Chris. Brilliant from Max. He's had a great season. And then when the chips are down, big game, big moment, big player, just fucking sorts it out.
Yeah. All in all, it was a great day. And, you know, shout out to Rahul and Anna. I think they make a very good beer 11.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. And then, obviously, end of the game, chase it down, but you know, we're getting close and we know it's going to be quite comfortable, even though that wasn't the case for, you know, a lot of the day. And then just the elation at the end of the day. Ben Hamilton's got 3 or 4 bottles of bubbly hidden in his bag that he hasn't mentioned to anyone. He gets them out, spraying bubbles around, people singing. Like, talk us through that moment of jubilation a little bit. What was the feeling out there?
I mean, it was, like you said, it's just jubilation. You know, when we won, I think we kind of knew we would win, you know, probably 6-7 overs before we had won. So
yeah,
kind of like, it was not a kind of game that went to the wire. So the excitement got kind of like dwindled down because, you know, we knew we would win. But yes, but, you know, when we crossed the line finally, and when the bubbles came out, it was just everyone hugging and cuddling and jumping and, you know, spraying those spirits of each other. It was a great feeling. I was captured very well in that picture as well.
And how does that rank in your... So you're a big part of the team that won the 2018 league. You didn't play so many games in 2018, but you're a big part of that squad. 2019, you were one of the frontline bowlers in it. Then to get the third in a row, history in the making. How does that rank in your cricketing career? Because obviously you've played cricket overseas, played at different levels. What does that mean to you?
I think that is a good question and a very, very important one, Liam. I think, you know, playing every game for the Plough feels great. Winning feels even greater, but winning the league is amazing. But all that aside, I think, you know, Coxie puts it very nicely, right? We're a nice social club. We play cricket. You know, if we win, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Well, look, mate, congratulations on what was a brilliant performance personally and team. You've been doing it for years. Like, that's really a culmination of everything that's gone into the last 6 years or so to get us to that point. Brilliant from tier twos, guided us through this season.
Absolutely.
On a difficult brief. Yeah. It is a difficult brief. Like, winning a league is not easy. There's a lot of games. There's a lot of variables. And he's done a fantastic job. So shout out to Tiss. And just well done on all of it. It's a brilliant thing to be part of. And it's a brilliant time to be part of the plan. Puff, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for talking us through that one. That's beautiful. That'll go down in the annals. I'll catch up with you very soon. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Ash, absolutely amazing talking us through it there. I mean, what a day for the league boys. Lonnon, captain, there was a stat about how many different players that have played in our league campaign. And it's just incredible to show that we're, you know, we're not 11, 12, 13 blokes. We've, what was it, 20 odd, 29 maybe?
I think 29 players played in the league this season, at least once. In the league side, we've also it kind of built on that from years gone by. So, like Freddie, you mentioned before, 2018, 2019, where we kind of came out of nowhere and took those two leagues as well. That set us up for this, and it's just brilliant to see the boys get us over the line there. Three seasons in a row, back to back, 18, 19, 21.
Hell of an achievement, unbelievable. Very proud of all the boys. It's definitely celebrating this weekend with people in Kenya who have no idea who Plowman are, but they definitely do now after I was shouting all weekend.
Yeah, I must say, as someone who's new, it's been amazing to like witness the guys come through and with a big win. Like, it seems like every week we win. I mean, I don't even know I've heard a Plowman's loss so far in the league. So it's always nice to have that.
There was a stat on that as well. I think in the last three league seasons, full league seasons, because last year didn't technically count as a league season, I think we've won 46 games and lost 6. So that's properly ruthless cricket that you've overseen there as well, Freddie, in 18 and 19. Ruthless on the field.
You say ruthless there, Liam, but in that first win that we had all those years ago, was it 2018 when Freddie was skipper, We were also the winners of the Sportsmanship Award at the league dinner. So although we've been dominant throughout, we've had this ethos of we're there to have fun and for both teams to really enjoy their day out. And Freddie, you kind of instilled that, and you said earlier you kind of learned a lot from Nico when he was captain and the other captains that have come before you. How important do you think that is in, you know, the league victories that we've got to now?
Yeah, I think it was actually quite a major part of that first season for me, because the year before, I think we'd finished second bottom and sort of been threatened by Robin at Surrey being like, you guys got to be careful the coming year. So I made a real point of it. It's just quite nice to be able to say that not only are we really good at cricket, but we're also pretty good blokes as well. I think it actually helped probably a little bit of just our general ethos in the actual club. Not only just to the oppo and stuff, but we all made sure we stayed for beers, which I think obviously descended into a bit of chaos every now and then for during the nights. But that's all part of it, which is a great thing, I think.
Yeah, and a massive shout out obviously to Simon there, who's, you know, every game he's been on the phone or he's been at the game in the leagues buying people drinks, and of course to the chairman, Coxie. I mean, everything that I've ever done at this club, and I know lots of other people have been trying to follow in their footsteps. They set a massive precedent at the top, and the rest of the committee. So I think the years that they've put in to bring this club to what it is, they're finally seeing those returns in victory as well. But I'm sure they're not that fussed by the league wins. I'm sure they're more happy that we've grown, doubled, tripled in size, and we're all still enjoying cricket.
They are definitely fussed about the league wins, I can tell you that.
Shout out to league skipper this year as well, James DeSarto, who's done a brilliant job, set that league win up. It was Lonan who captained it on the day. James obviously has gone to have a baby now. He set that up this year. It's a pretty tough brief to take on at the beginning of the season. We've got a squad that we know can win this league. You've got to deliver it. That's pretty tough, regardless of how good our players are, to actually go and win, you know, with a few exceptions, week in, week out, and deliver on that is great. And I think Tiss has done a brilliant job. I think he's left it in a good position for whoever comes in to take that over next year.
Just imagine, and I know Ash said it there, but having a league side where your seventh change bowler can open in the final game of the league season. I mean, incredibly well bowled Ollie Lonsdale, but just having that depth amongst the boys that someone comes on, normally bowls fourth on a Sunday, takes four wickets, is just brilliant.
Yeah, pretty special group of guys. Well done, Tiz, by the way. I didn't get a chance to really sit face to face when I was back, but well done on league captain, league winners, and having a baby finally.
In that order, and yeah, just a brilliant day out as well. Like, I'm sure that even for people who weren't there, you saw some of the celebrations on the social channels, on WhatsApp, and on the Twitter and the Instagram accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. The fireworks were a real highlight. I mean, I was at the Oval all day on Saturday, and I'd much rather been at Ottershaw in the end. It's much more exciting as England took two wickets and Plowman's walked home with the title.
Finally seeing where the profits of all our jugs of beers are going into a massive fireworks supply to get out for the Championes.
And brilliant to see everyone like so keen to head back to DSG as well. Ottershaw is over an hour's drive from Dulwich, and then loads of people had, you know, another half hour to get home after that. But we've found our home at DSG at Turney Road. And everyone in the chat who came to join us afterwards, and all the players, as soon as the game was done, straight away. Right, are we heading back to Dulwich? Are we heading back to DSG? There's a convoy of car, like cricket bags and players piled into the back of cars, just all heading across London, all back to the DSG. So,
in the words of a very good song, we've taken all your trophies and now we're going to go.
Yeah, and it's great to see that, like the culmination of probably 5 or 6 years' work, finished with that third league title, and then everyone back to our home is just a really beautiful thing. And it's brilliant from everyone who's been involved in it.
Can't get over it. I just can't get over it. I'm so proud of everyone. I've got my two league medals just in front of me, all shined up, ready. So well deserved from the boys that won it this year.
Excellent. Yeah, for sure. I'm very, very jealous of all the celebrations and everything that comes with it.
So it was the morning after the night before, and I think a few of the Ploughmans were probably still out on open-top buses touring London's bars and high streets. But Max, you and 10 other strapping men made the way across to Putney Cricket Club, I believe, a good bunch of blokes. Who was the captain and how did you guys get on?
So yeah, we had Grant as captain. It was, I mean, as everyone knows, a very warm, cloudless day. So just as September rolls around, it was time for some nice weather. So sun cream was well on. We had a good batting lineup on paper. When you have Greg Willis batting at number 9, you're thinking you're probably going to get some runs on a flat deck, quite a small pitch at Putney. So we felt confident as we arrived in a bit of a mess because the pitch was actually about sort of 300 or 400 meters away from their clubhouse. So everyone's sat now was heading in the wrong way, but we eventually made it. They set up 2 gazebos in gold and blue, so they prepared for the Ploughman's arrival with gazebos rather than anything else. But no, it's lovely place to play cricket.
Yeah, I remember playing there and we stopped a game and went and watched Ben Stokes go absolutely crazy in that now very famous innings, and we all paused for a little bit, you know, made the 400 yard walk back across to their clubhouse and then carried on with the game. So it is a really nice spot. You've got the trees around it, and like you say, they put the gazebos up next to their shed there. So it's quite hard to kind of work out their standard because they've got a few teams at Putney, and on Sunday it can be quite tough to play against their team, and some days it can be quite easy. You know, how did you actually find it on the day? Was it a good opposition?
Yeah, so they were definitely closer to the first team than the fourth 11 or whatever they are. They had some very good players that did a job on us in various departments around the field. But we opened up with we batted first, and as I said, we were looking for some runs with a strong batting lineup, myself excluded, obviously. And we had Grant, fresh off his 93 from the week before, opening with himself, and also Fred Gumper opened as well from the other end, so a nice left hand, right hand to open on what was quite slow opening bowlers, but slow but accurate. We faced up the top, and they both, Grant got a life. He chipped one to cover that was dropped, an absolute dolly that was dropped. And then Fred did the same thing, but was not dropped. And then Grant nicked one to slip. So suddenly we were 25 for two.
Yeah, I can see on the scorecard that Grant did get those 7 runs that he was seeking the weekend before, but wasn't able to convert on the day for anything more. But really strong lineup. I mean, you've got next in Paul Hines, Will Steven, Leon Park.
Yeah, absolutely. They were the core mid-order. I think we were sort of looking to put some, as I said, that openers, or one of that openers bowled 4 wides and then was taken off by his captain and didn't bowl again.
I wouldn't get to bowl at all if that was happening in our club.
Yeah, and then the skipper bowled himself 6 at the other end, and he was very bowled tight line and length, so it was tough to get going. And we were sort of, I think we were a bit up against the wall to start with. We felt a bit of pressure because we knew Paulie had got a ton there before and a 70, he thinks. So he was looking for runs, and other people knew that there was runs to be had out there. But Will, so yeah, Will Stevens and arguably the better Stevens, who knows, came to the crease and with Paul, and they put on, I think, 50 or so or 40 for the third wicket, which should have set the ship a little bit. They were hitting some runs, as everyone knows how Paul plays. He hits the ball very hard, doesn't like running. So he's proceeded to do that. And then Will Stevens is pretty similar in terms of wanting to hit the ball a long way rather than necessarily run the quick ones. But then Will was out and it sparked a bit of a collapse as we went from 67 for 2 to 80 for 6.
Oh, wow.
Which is, yeah, I mean, as I say, on a batting deck with a good lineup. So at the end of all the carnage, that was Paulie, Will, myself and Leon all out. Leon got 1, I got 6/7, depending if you believe what happened or look at the scorebook.
We always look at the scorebook. What does the book say?
The book says 7, so I got 7. They basically had a very good spinner who was ripping it, bowling very tight off spin, and really knew what he was doing in terms of changing it up and pace and flight and everything. So it became quite hard to hit. So I personally whacked him for a nice four over long on and then chipped one straight back to him the next ball. So it wasn't exactly the... he was bowling well, but I think we gave away a wicket a little bit too easily, arguably. We knew he was a good bowler, so we could have just seen him out, but we didn't. Trent batted very well to sort of after that. He didn't get too many runs, but he basically batted through the spinner and sort of used his pads well, used his feet, got us through that. And then he got out, unfortunately, but then Greg Willis and Archie Fidders were at the crease. And, well, they basically got us back in the game. They got a 60 partnership at the bottom of the innings. Both finishing.
Did Archie get more than one run in this 60 partnership? I know that he's famous for staying around in high scoring partnerships, but not really converting on his own.
He did get 19 runs, 19 not out, which he says was his highest score for the plough. So, assume
congratulations.
Go on, Archie.
To you, Miguel. Archie. Miguel in the runs.
And then, yeah, Greg did the job of, I think he got 33 or something like that, 33 not out, which is valuable running runs at the end of the innings. So we got a nice, what was sort of on paper a possibly defendable score of 174, sort of 4.5 and over with some tight bowling. We knew that we had something to bowl at least.
So that actually came out of nowhere then, like adding those runs on towards the end. So a brilliant fight back. It makes a lot of sense now that Paul Hines was playing on a Sunday. If he says he got 170 there beforehand, of course he was available for this weekend. I think we've seen that behaviour before in this club, not just from Paul, but a few people picking their batting decks in the batting lineup. Am I wrong, Freddie?
Never.
I'm surprised you didn't fly back for it. And so 172 for 8 off 40. As you said, that sounds defendable. You've got quite a bowling lineup there. Greg, Archie, Damon, Trent. Wow, you've actually got a really good bowling lineup.
And Iraj.
So, so you went back out there, and how did you boys get on?
Yeah, so we sort of knew on paper that we had to be very tight early on, and we knew that the pitch was spinning. So Niraj got the ball to open up with.
No.
Grant going for a bit of maverick, Tom Lane-esque maverick bowling.
Matt Bolshaw goes away for one weekend and we still open with spin. This is incredible.
So Niraj opened, and actually the trap worked, as on his fifth ball he bowled the opening batter, and suddenly Putney were sort of 2 for 1 or something. We thought, well, that's what we have to do. Basically, we knew that the key was going to be taking wickets. It wasn't a huge pitch. We had to get on with it. And then, well, the next guy came in, and then the last ball of that over, which was his first ball, sent it over long on for 6. Then Archie bowled a very nice tight, opened up from the other end, bowled very, really well, really tight, and then came back to Niraj, who got a second over after the wicket, and the second ball of that guy's innings also went for 6. And that's pretty much how he proceeded to go on. I think he reached 121 at the end, and he was unbeaten at the end. As wasn't too many highlights for the plough to talk about in the fielding side. Greg got a good LBW to take the Roper out, but the other two then put on 140 for the third wicket to win the game for Putney. We didn't even... It wasn't like we had chances. We didn't drop anything. I'll come on to it probably in the post-game section, but there was no clear-cut chances in terms of how we fielded, and everyone was very energetic in the field, really like putting a good performance, like everyone's trying their hardest, basically. We saw some lesser-spotted Fred Gunn put off-spin. I think just because you know it's a spinning deck, and Grant was desperate for a wicket, so he popped in his secret wicketkeeper for a bit of bowling.
Nice, that from the skipper. Yeah, switching the bowlers around a little bit, getting them something to think about. By all accounts, from what it looked like from afar is, we've come up against a very talented batsman who's played a very classy innings. I think that's the long and short of it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it was one of those. It was sort of when we had the field set to 3 men deep in cow corner, like sort of a deep mid-wicket, deep long on and a sort of cow corner, and he was hitting over our heads. It wasn't like sort of we were playing aggressive fields and he kept just playing good shots to good balls. He was just smashing it out of the ground. I think we spent longer searching for balls in the trees than we did actually fielding. at various points.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will know that I look after our Instagram account, and before you guys had even come off the pitch, we'd been tagged in a photo celebrating this guy having scored 121, not out. Alex Savage is his surname, and wow, his batting sounds like he absolutely was a little bit savage that day. So you guys did well. I mean, they got there in 25 and a half overs. Is that about right? I think
yeah,
you about halfway through.
We got to drinks, and we sort of knew that it was... I mean, it got so desperate that Grant even nearly put me onto bowl. That's how shit we were playing. So, well, not what shit we were playing, how up against the wall we were.
Yeah, as you say, it's a batting deck. You've got a decent batsman there.
I've certainly been on the wrong end of a few of them in my time as well, and I think most of us at Ploughman's will have experienced that at least once or twice. If anything, and we was discussed after the game as well, I think Putney are a bigger club. We play quite a lot of friendlies against bigger clubs who put out a number of different league teams on Saturday. And I think it's a bit of a compliment, if anything, really, that we'll go and beat one of these teams in a friendly game, and then they almost want a bit of revenge against us. And they put a load of their first team players in, and they're really up for the game. And I think we take that as a bit of a compliment, really. And next year, when we'll bear that in mind when we're looking at availability as well, or who we can take down there. But I think it's credit to the club, really, that like these bigger clubs are actually that interested in us in the first place, that they've been on the wrong end of one or two, and they really try.
Because they know we're coming from.
Gun up and make a point of, you know, making a big deal out of that fixture.
I mean, I'm just looking at this fixture from 2019 when we played them at home, and we had a 7-wicket win against them. And so, you know, Logan Cassin, 3 wickets. I think Chris Lilford's done well there. Nigel Stevenson. These kind of names that, you know, are in our Sunday sides and are still there. So it's just the luck of the draw on the day. You get the right batsman out and it's a completely different game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We didn't know who was the number 5. He could have been a bit of a wally. So it's we never know. And they did what they had to do. Fair play to them. They played pretty well all day.
Brilliant. Putney, I quite like on social media. They've got a bear as a mascot that often pops up. But I know that they're like us. They do enjoy their home club and their home bar. And they do like to celebrate after the game. Were they gracious in victory?
Yeah, so we went down to their little clubhouse down the road. It's a bit of an odd place. It's sort of a wooden shack that suddenly becomes quite a nice little bar. But we did some post-match. They sort of had to do some sort of more formal post-match awards, which I haven't sort of experienced before, which each award is awarded with a shot of fire whiskey, which I ended up having 2 of, which was a real shame.
What were they for?
So I got one for an arguable drop, which was basically the guy hit it over my head for 6, and I basically ran slightly the wrong angle, and if I'd stuck my arm up in the air at the right time, I might have caught it one-handed on the run. And that was our drop of the day.
That's what happened. But what does the book say happened?
The book says 6. Yeah, and then I also managed to get the thanks for coming, because I was mostly spent my time running around saying I love fielding, which I do love fielding, but, you know, it wasn't quite my day. I think Leon got slightly a couple of less runs than me, but he kept phenomenally well. I think it was only 1 by all day, which with some Sunday leg side bowling was pretty impressive. And then, yes, we did it. It was also the sort of dick of the day moment, which Greg got for running out Trent, trying to run a single to the keeper off a spinner, which didn't really go Trent's way. Trent also got nominated because he very loudly appealed for an LBW when the batsman middled it into his own pad.
I've definitely seen them been given, though, and I've definitely given them as well. So it's always worth an appeal, T-Rex.
And... You know, Raj got it, so a champagne moment, and we gave Greg man of the match, got one of our 2 wickets and a crucial 39 not out at the end. So he played like he was a shining light on the day for sure.
Fantastic, it's great. Were there any other highlights of the day? I know you mentioned sun cream at the top. We've not heard that word in a while.
Yeah, I know. I think only one person brought any, which was, of course, was Damon, because he's the dad and he loves looking after. He did make sure I put extra sun cream on my watch strap, suntan. So did the job there, but no, it was a fairly unremarkable day in terms of how we played, and it sort of we had a lovely chat. Everyone enjoyed the off field drinks afterwards and good vibes all round, really, as ever with Plough.
Well played, boys. That's what friendly cricket is all about. So why don't we have a listen to how the boys playing at home got on?
So, Liam, Sunday you were captain at home versus Spartans. How did you toss? How was your toss?
I let the boys know that I was planning to bat first. On the day, we had a strong batting lineup, and I said, we've got 40 overs. Everyone's going to get a bat today. We're going to put a big score on the board. Walked out to the middle, lost the toss. And Spartans put us in. So that worked out all right.
Excellent. So that's the result that you were hoping from the toss, which is great. Seemingly got off to a fairly good start.
We got off to a good start, but a fairly slow start. So we were scoring about 2 and over for, I think, the first 10. Just tight bowling, really. Just guys just bowled well. There wasn't much out there. And it's a brand new pitch. Hadn't been played on at all this year. So the top order were trying to feel their way through it a little bit. Until Suri came in, who didn't really waste any time, as he often doesn't.
He rarely does, doesn't he?
No. He's in such good touch, and he's such a good player, that he can basically just go in and start batting how he wants to as soon as he goes in these days.
Yeah, that's... I mean, when I was back watching him bat was just glorious. It was some of the best batting I've seen from him ever since he joined the Plough. You say we seem to get off to a slow start. Ben Fletcher, right up at the top, got 111 off 100 balls. Nothing about that, to me, says it's slow.
It was a brilliant performance from Ben. Spoke to him during the week and just asked where he fancied batting at the weekend. He said something along the lines of, I usually bat 3 or 4, but I haven't scored any runs yet, so give me a chance to open. I'll play myself in properly and I'll get you a few runs.
Excellent decision, really.
Yeah, all right, go on then. Cheers. So he played himself in really nicely and, Jesus, looks like a quality player. One thing that I noted throughout his innings, because Spartans, brilliant opposition, and they really like to mix it up. They get everyone involved in bowling. And so facing a lot of different bowling throughout that innings, quite a lot of times there's a kind of fairly loopy full ball that could easily be turned into a full toss. And he's just taken one or two steps right underneath his eyes and just played it along the ground, rolled it down to long off for one, and just walked it through. And I just think, like...
Proper player.
That's a really classy way to approach that delivery. A lot of players I know would be looking to hoik that over cow corner at every opportunity.
Yeah, I can agree with that route. and then Umar came in with what seems like a very quick 39 off 37 as well, not out.
Yeah, so Umar's normally a top order player as well. So he's historically not like a massive boundary hitter, but the two of them just ran so well, picked the balls to hit, and it was a flawless knock from him, 39 off 37. And Ben then at the end, by that point when he was in, really kind of opened up and hit a couple of big sixes. And we ended up with a really good score. I guess the only downside from that innings is we had like the two big hitters, Cake and DNS, who I imagined would be in for at least the last 10 overs making hay. And neither of them got a chance to bat. So that was the only kind of downside, I guess. But brilliant score and fairly confident going into the tea break.
You didn't get a bat yourself, unfortunately, as well, which is always thrilling to watch.
Unfortunately not.
With that high back lift of yours. Yeah, so you finished on 230 for 5 off your 40. How was the tees?
Tees were fine, yeah. Still fairly COVID impacted. So we, a few of us had some tees. Few just opted for a cigarette and a drink. Fairly quick turnaround, as Spartans had places to be after the game. So we got straight back on with it, really. Feeling quite confident with a big score, but also aware that the boundary rope is quite small and the outfield is quite fast.
Okay. And so were you number one, number two bowler for today or for Sunday?
I was number one bowler for Sunday.
So opening with some wonderful drift then.
Yeah, two Sunday sides opening with spin. This is brilliant.
And there was it was an interesting one to captain because I had a plan in my head of how the game would pan out. Mark and I would keep it tight at the top, hopefully pick up one or two, bring Nige on, kill it off altogether. DNS can get a few wickets at the other end. And then just spend the second half just sharing the bowling around everyone else.
Yeah.
Easy afternoon out.
Absolutely. And by the looks of it, you guys did pretty well. They had seemingly quite a strong opening partnership.
We did pretty well, but it didn't go to plan at all. Because after 9 overs, they were 75 for no loss. My idea of keeping it...
quite a few of them were off you, weren't they, Skip?
Quite a few of them were off me, yeah. And the one opener in particular just went after everything. And fair play, a lot of the boundaries he hit were just really good shots. And then there were quite a few which went in the air, didn't quite go to hand, half chances that, you know, we didn't quite take. So there's a mixture of that. But yeah, all of a sudden it looked like the game was running away from us very quickly.
Yeah, sounds it. And then the sort of middle bowlers helped out a bit, maybe.
Yeah, so Adil and Dave Nielsen-Scott came on and changed that. Well, first of all, Mark bowled really well, and I stuck with him. I just felt like he was going to get one of the openers out. He bowled really well. He got some edges, few plays and misses. So stuck with him, and he managed to get the danger man at the top of the order. So that was just rewards for a really decent spell, actually. And then Adil and Dave Nielsen-Scott came on.
It's not a bad first change pairing, that.
Yeah, not bad at all, that. Yeah.
Adil is he's just a brilliant bowler. So much control, so intelligent, like knows exactly what he's trying to achieve with every single ball. Probably could have had more than one wicket, few LBs, catches, etc. And Dave Nielsen-Scott from the other end was just bowling
fire. Eight.
Oh my god, he bowls so quick. Like, I didn't realise.
He just tries to knock the guy's head off every single time, I think.
Yeah, and he gets quicker as well.
He gets quicker. I have faced him in Medivale Nets where I guess coming off a half run, he's just kind of going through the motions and I never really got it, but there's this moment where Surrey and we've got two slips and a gully, and I'm at gully, and we're stood probably halfway between the stumps and the boundary, and Surrey is literally taking almost every delivery above his head, and DNS is bowling from like the dead end, like one of the ends had a bit of lift in it, but he's not bowling from that end, he's bowling from the other one, and it's absolutely flying through. It's just... proper pace.
Yeah, it really, I mean, I was slip when he was bowling one game when I was back, and almost every ball it felt like I was taking a little step back each time because he really was just getting quicker and quicker, which is ridiculous, to be honest.
It's when he fields and you say to him easy in, he actually tries to knock the wicket keeper over as well.
Yeah. Nige Stevenson had a bowl. It's good to see him on the scorecard having a bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Nige back from injury, so I'm still trying to work this out in my head. Like, the obviously initial plans have totally gone out the window, and I've asked Rahul and Umar if you can just bowl a couple of overs for me, and just two each, and just see if you can get something. I've kind of kept Nige as the ace up my sleeve. Like, I've seen him bowl that many times that I know what he's capable of. Brought him on. Rahul and Umar did really well. Rahul picked up a really big wicket, and then Nige comes on. I just tell him, look, it's business time now. They're five down. Like, can you sort this out? And he just bowled, I think he bowled three overs for three runs in a really high scoring game. And it was just like, Nige, you're a gun.
He's so good at exactly that, just taking the absolute pace, the sting out of any game, and just he gets through his overs really quickly as well. So it's like sneaking maidens through. He really can change a game, like you say, in just three overs.
Yeah, and he should have had a wicket off his first ball. Like, he totally did the batsman all ends up first ball, and the catch wasn't held. Our catching was pretty woeful on the day. We put down hundreds of catches and half chances. But yeah, Nige was brilliant. I came back on from the other end and bowled better in my second spell.
Yeah, talking of another bowler who seems to get quicker with every ball. You came on for a second spell, which is unheard of. Everyone who knows anything about cricket knows not to bring Liam on for a second spell. But what the hell happened?
Yeah, so I think maybe there's a bit of misinformation out there. Not sure quite where this has come from. I think certainly when I've captained a lot of cricket teams over the years since I was about 11 years old. When I captain team, I think I'll definitely bowl with a new ball because I always move it regardless of the conditions. And I've always got it in my head that I'll bowl three overs. And if the economy's really good, which, you know, in normal seasons it usually would be, and or taking wickets, then I'll think about continuing. If not, change it up and come back on later. Which, in this game, came back on at a pretty important time and picked up four and also three drops off my bowl on that day. So, yeah, it bowled some pretty good balls. And there's almost no better feeling than taking wickets. Like, it's so great for ploughmans as well. Been away from it a lot this season. Intentionally haven't really played that much. Taken a season away from playing regularly. And I'm just so up for it. I joked to a few people already that I've kind of started my pre-season already for next season. I'm lifting some weights and that. And I just can't wait. Pre-season oval. I'm netting all season, and I just can't wait to be back in that league side and just taking wickets for fun.
Liam, I absolutely love to see that you're getting that physical edge already above next season's batsman. But you've clearly already got that mental edge. I mean, captaining here, you've obviously looked at the scorecard from the year previous where Iskander Eaton, spin bowler, four wickets. Niraj Taylor, spin bowler, four wickets. And then you've utilised yourself here, spin bowler, four wickets. You've worked this team out before you've even stepped on the pitch. This is fantastic.
And also, one of those four being
so
a stumpy.
Suri wanted me to make a shout-out on this. He requested that I make a shout-out on this episode of the podcast to just put a note in here that, forget me and Bush, me and Nigel bowling is the most ferocious bowling partnership he's ever seen.
That'd be a completely different podcast, you and Nigel. Imagine.
How was it in the field? Was there any funny moments?
The fielding was rubbish on the whole. No, the fielding was fine, but the catching was rubbish. We put down so many chances, a load of dollies and a load of half chances. The exception to that was Dave Neilson-Scott, who took an absolute blinder at mid-wicket, my first wicket, which wasn't a great ball, and a guy smashed it at him. He's managed to hold on to that one. Mark had a mixed day catching. He took two really good catches in the slip and put a few others down as well. But the actual, everyone's attitude was brilliant, and the ground fielding was really good, and despite looking like we were really going behind in the game, everyone stuck with it. Everyone kept the right attitude. Everyone was backing the bowler. And yeah, they really, everyone did their bit in the field to drag us back into it. Cake in particular was absolutely brilliant. Nothing got through him. Really solid bit of fielding and brilliant.
Just another quick shout out to Suri. I can see on Play Cricket here that he's took a stumping off your bowling as well. So fair play.
You really drew him with the flight and guile of your bowling. And also I've just got to say, I think it sounds, or it looks a bit like a proper, like, you know, a plough victory. Everyone somehow contributing, whether it's with bat or the ball, a lot of the wickets were being shared around and things like that, and the runs being shared around a little bit. So wicked sort of statement from the club showing that how deep we play and that everyone's got something to offer on any given day.
Yeah, and it must be really easy to captain a side to victory when your opening batsman scores a ton.
Well, you'd think that, yeah, and that
we should probably try doing that a bit more often, shouldn't we?
I don't think there's any room for complacency in cricket, and that's what I told the team at the halfway stage. But in the back of my mind, yeah, with that big score and after someone's played innings like that, you are probably thinking that we've probably got enough here. it didn't look like the case the whole way through, but yeah, we've got there in the end, and it was a great team performance. There's a nice moment after the game finished, and it was quite an organic thing. No one had said, like, come and sit around or whatever. But everyone kind of naturally just sat around in a circle. Everyone had a drink. Some were drinking beers, some were drinking soft drinks. And everyone was just kind of sat around. I looked around, I just counted, and all 11 players were just sat there, just in the sun, all having a chat about the game, all laughing and joking. And yeah, it was like real team feel to it, real team performance.
Awesome. That is that's exactly what the Plough is all about, I think, is essentially playing cricket with your mates, hopefully in the sun. So well done on that victory. It's really good.
Cheers, Freddie. I did want to give out a shout out to Suri, who did a couple of alpha moments during that day. He turned up, and Ben Fletcher, the Centurion, looks to be a very, very good keeper. So Suri had messaged me on the way down there and said, I'm keeping today, right? I suggested that they could possibly share it between them. So he basically rocked up, right, you're the other keeper, I'm the senior player here, I'm keeping today. That was quite alpha. Had also forgot his whites, so he was also like, can you give me some whites as well, please? So that was quite like an alpha moment. And there's this another brilliant moment where one of the change bowlers, Spartans change bowlers, bowls a couple of full tosses at Surrey, first up, slow bowler. First one goes for four. And then the second one, Surrey hits for six. And the bowler comes down the wicket just to apologise. And he kind of says, look, sorry, mate, that wasn't my intention. Surrey, like, beaming ear to ear like he does, just goes to him, mate, you don't need to apologise. I've just hit that for four, hit it for six. If you hit me and hurt me, you can apologise. I should be saying thank you to you for that.
I love Suri. Oh, that's awesome. That is excellent. Suri was one of my favourite people to watch play over the summer. He was in such good form, both on the pitch and off the pitch, I think, as well.
Yeah, he's a joy to be around. He really is, all day. All right, that covers that. Now let's have a look at our fantasy section.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy cricket?
Matt Spencer, who's top of the league?
Normally you say, tell our listeners something they already know, but they might not be aware that Trent is top. But as predicted last week on the Thanks for Coming podcast, Tissato is closing him right down. Just 5 points the difference. And James Tissato has whacked his wang out and thrown down the gauntlet that he's hot on the heels of Trent. It's T-bangers, G-bangers going up against big pissed units, jugs all round. Now just 5 points between them, and then the rest of the table is falling away. Just the two tall Aussies on the go up there.
Fair enough. I wonder if there's any, like, Australian collusion going on there.
Most probably.
Just good at imaginary cricket, aren't they?
So that's who's top of the league. Which team had the best fantasy week?
We've mentioned him a lot on the podcast already, and it is the alpha of the week, Surrey's Cowboys, that are at the top this week. Scored quite well, closely followed by Rahul's The Royal Strikers CC.
Oh, nice. Friend of the show, Rahul Nair. So let's move on to the field. Which of our players scored the most runs in the action?
It's a difficult one. You know, on the league Saturday, Ollie Lonsdale, 4 wickets, run out and a maiden, but he's still been picked to the post. Ben Fletcher's ton, 111 runs. He also got a run out. it brings up that age-old debate. What's better, scoring a ton, taking four wickets and a run out? We'll leave that for the chat groups.
That age-old debate.
Having never scored a ton or got four wickets, I'm unsure.
I appreciate the sentiment, but we've not got all the details right for that one there, have we, in that one?
I reckon Ollie's told people at work he took seven.
I told my mum I took seven because three catches went down, so basically she'll be happy with that. Alright, lads, you've played cricket, you know most of the guys in the club. Help our listeners out with some tips for their fantasy teams. Other than Trent and Tiss, everyone needs a bit of help, I think, at this point. So, Freddie and Max, we're going to ask for your input here. Starting off with you, Max, who's your tip for this coming weekend?
Well, I would say that I only joined the Fantasy League halfway through the year, but I think I am rock bottom. So you should go against what I say. Absolutely. So I would say definitely don't pick Suri for this weekend. So go against that advice, I would, and you're probably right. I think he's chasing that top batter's medal. So I think he'd be keen to, and he absolutely adores cricket. So he'll be out there having a bat, having a keep, and telling all the other wicketkeepers to sod off. So catching and stumpings are on the agenda too.
Max, what on earth are you doing in this fantasy league? You're not just bottom, you're 4,000 points below Ainsley, who's literally on the other side of the world, has only met one of us.
I'm just going to stick with no comment on that one. I think it's because I'm backing myself as captain.
You have put yourself as captain. Good 14 points this week.
Freddie, same question to you, mate. Who's your tip for this coming weekend?
This coming weekend, I'm gonna pick one of my main men, Barras, Adam Barraclough. He's been on fire since having little Harry. And I can't see that form disappearing anytime soon. So I'd stick him in if I had a team.
Brilliant. All right. Appreciate that. Looking further to the future, but not that much further. Because as has been rightly pointed out, we've got 3 weekends of cricket left to play. 8 games, I believe, in total. Who's your pick for the remainder of the season, Freddie?
The remainder of the season. Obviously, there's lots of people who it could be. Some people might not start, might start slowing down on the amount of cricket they play. But you know what, Liam? I'm going to say you, bud. You seem to have got the cricketing bug again, just off the back of 4 wickets, obviously, which should have been 7, as we've heard about. You seem to have got the love back for playing. So I'm going to back you as the man to take a few more wickets over the rest of the season. If you're going to play some more days.
Thanks very much, mate. I appreciate that. For our listeners out there, I'm unavailable for the rest of this. I really appreciate the shout-out. Max, who's your chap for the rest of the season?
Well, I was going to say Umar, because he scored some runs. He's a good. He's, as much as he hates being a bowler, has become a bit of a bowler. But based on the picture he put on his finger on Plough On, over this week, it may not be so much cricket, so I'm going to go with the weekend centurion Ben Fletcher. Found a bit of late season form on some September pitches. Maybe he can have a couple more games, hit a few more runs. I assume, like Liam, he's starting his pre-season very early for next season by the sounds of things, so be good. So I think he'll be a good pick to pop in your team. But again, as I said, don't ever follow what I said, so just probably drop him and don't touch him again.
Excellent, cheers. Spence, have they missed anyone there? Anyone in your opinion who, for the last 3 weekends, should be considered for selection?
A couple of the guys that are regularly in the names. I don't know how much Iskander Eaton has got left of the season, but he's still the highest scoring fantasy batsman. He also bowls quite a bit and, as we know, rates himself in the field. So I reckon if Iskander's got some games left him, he's probably one to put in and keep in.
Nice one. Okay. Thanks for that. Listeners, you've heard what they've got to say. Your teams are not very good, certainly compared to Trent's and Tiss's teams. Anyway, they're not very good. So listen to the boys. Get them in.
Any other business?
Yes, Yanni, it is any other business. Those jingles, they just crack me up every time. Thank you very much again for doing those.
Matt Bolshaw, if he's still out there, he'll enjoy this section.
I love that we say this every week, but rumour has it, he doesn't actually enjoy it that much, but it's just a rumour. I don't know who's spreading that. So it does bring me on.
Friend of the show, Matt Bolshaw.
Max and Fred, the better Max and Fred in the Ploughmans. Do either of you have any superstitions? Freddie, I'll start with you because I've seen you bat and it's just a mess of pads and leg stump leaves and all sorts. So talk us through what goes through your head when you're playing cricket.
Yeah, mate, I've got so many superstitions and a lot of pretty weird, perfectly honest. Yeah, one of them is I have to buy a bottle of Volvic water on the way to the game. That is a very strange one.
You've made me do that before for you.
Yeah, I know I have, yeah. I've got things like, if I walk across my stumps...
Other brands of water are available.
If I walk across my stumps, I have to drag my bat. I twist my bat and hit my shoulder with it before the ball comes. I twist my whole body as well. I talk to myself out loud. Certain pads on in a certain way. I think the weirdest though... is actually having a few cigarettes before a bat. A lot of you will remember that season when I averaged, something like four or five over the season. I just couldn't hit any runs whatsoever. And I'd actually quit smoking that summer. And then I came back the next summer and I started smoking again and I averaged 72 for the year. So I kind of think it makes sense. So I have to have a smoke for that. Other superstitions are available. Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's just a few of them.
I'll take this opportunity to say that
equals runs.
The Thanks for Coming podcast does not condone or promote smoking.
Also, Freddie, are you still smoking now?
Only when I play cricket.
I was going to say, but you didn't get any runs this season either, Fred.
No, I didn't. I really didn't. I must have been missing a couple of superstitions, to be fair.
Okay, and Max, what about yourself? I mean, most of us know about your bright yellow lid, but is there anything else you've got going on?
Yeah, I mean, nothing too huge. I mean, I do have the very unhealthy superstition. It's not really a superstition as much as a justification for... exercise is that I always have a Mackey's pre-game.
I love that.
Strong.
DeRay always has a KFC.
KFC and pours gravy over cars and things like that, doesn't it?
Quite often it's just like some nugs or a McFlurry or something, but I always pop it. The one in Brixton has had so much of my money this summer, it's unbelievable.
Other fast food restaurants are available.
Yeah, I love that you've never like texted ahead and gone, anyone want anything?
Yeah, no comment on that.
Oh, can you imagine that on the platter chat? McDonald's, yeah. For 75 people.
Pop down to the DSG for a Big Mac. And that's on field. I don't necessarily have any. I like to shout before every ball, but that's more because I think the ADHD makes it pretty boring for 40 overs unless you're talking about shit for 40 overs. It's more a confession than a superstition, but I don't really understand. I've never really got taken a guard, so I just make it up every week and do a different thing for no real reason. Which might be why I don't get any runs. But I've started taking off stump and leg stump, so I just know where the stumps are and then just stand somewhere in the middle.
I love that.
It's like a goalkeeper, tapping his boots at either post, just so he knows.
Freddie, do you mark your guard?
Yeah, middle and leg.
Do you mark it every time you go in there? I think it's bizarre as well.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm umpiring, more often than not, I'll line up with some meticulous degree of detail exactly where the middle stump is. Yeah, right, that's middle or whatever they've asked for. And then watch someone scratch out a mark, which is like easily an inch either side of that, more often than not.
Have you seen me do that? Because I often don't believe the umpire.
No.
Because I try and guess where it is, and then they say, no, it's a bit further away from you. And I say, yeah, cool, bollocks to that.
You're very well known for knowing where your leg stump is, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I do like to leave it between my pads and leg. Britto knows about that.
Sorry, Max, I jumped in there. Max, was there anything else you wanted to finish off with there?
No, as I said, like, I mean, I feel like given the amount of runs Freddie's got for the playoff, I should probably start taking up smoking. No. It's quite frankly, it's not working. McDonald's isn't working for me so far, so. As I said, do not condone smoking.
No.
Bad for you.
Terrible, nasty.
Unless you want runs.
So, interesting superstitions there. It's good to have some people actually feel open and secure in this safe environment we've created on Thanks For Coming podcast to share with us. Which brings me on to Obsessed by Line and Length. I've got a nomination, but seeing as I didn't play in any of the games, has anyone else got something they'd like to say before I put mine in?
I think Puff was pretty phenomenal at the top end. I haven't looked at the scorecard, but just kept it so tight while Ollie Lonsdale was smashing down doors at the other end. And yeah, bowling's about partnerships, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah, just a quick shout out as well to Archie. Because, I mean, as I said, we went for 7 and over for 25 overs. But he, especially his first 3 overs, I think only went for 3 runs, 1 run over. So pretty bloody good in the circumstances. Shame it was such a hot day. Because I don't think that if he'd been able to bowl a longer spell, he might have stayed in the game for a bit longer. But he bowled really well, especially the first 3.
That's a great show. Archie's had some brilliantly tight spells this summer, hasn't he? I'm looking forward to seeing more of him next year. And my nomination, again, would be Nigel Stevenson. Liam, as you said earlier, 3 overs for 3 in quite a high-scoring game. And he still kept his economy low throughout his spell and took a wicket. So some good shout-outs there for bowlers. Bowlers Union podcast, no batsmen get shout-outs in this section. Liam, if you want to tell us things we already know, the top run scorer in the club at the moment?
Top run scorer in the club is Max Gumpert. Hot on his heels is, as we know, Suri, but they both scored 40-odd at the weekend. So gap remains. Let's see how that pans out with 8 games to go.
I'm interested to see the availabilities of those two as it heats up and brings across to the exciting competition of the leading wicket taker for Plowman CC. Who are we looking
at? So we're looking at friend of the show, Matt Bolshaw, who overtook Wilby last week in the well-documented 7 wickets that he took. I believe Tom Lonnon has crept into second place. Some wickets on the weekend. Wilby in third. And Ashish Paul in fourth. So Lonnon and Wilby joint second, sorry, and then Ashish Paul in fourth. Ash only 1 wicket behind Lonnon and Wilby. It's all to play for at the top of the wicket charts. And just to be clear, because there seems to be a bit of confusion about this, the bowling trophy at the end of the year does not go to the bowler who has the most wickets, and the batting trophy doesn't necessarily go to the batsman who's got the most runs either. They're done on average. We just like to read out the top scorer and wicket taker on this show for a bit of fun.
I just want to, I've done someone a disservice here. You, Liam, because I didn't include it in the notes, but Ollie Lonsdale has also, with his 4, now crept up to 20 wickets, the same as
Ash. No
way. 1 behind joint second Lonnon and Wilby, and just 5 behind Bolshaw. So there are now 5 bowlers in the mixer for top wicket taker.
Beautiful.
This is good. 5 bowlers taking over 20 in the club is absolutely superb, and it just shows the strength of the bowlers.
Fighting it out for an accolade which doesn't exist on the Thanks For Coming podcast.
We love to hear it. And Sledger this week, surely it's the one you mentioned earlier, Liam. Tell us it very quickly.
Yeah, he's after dispatching a head-high full toss for 6 runs and the bowler just politely apologising, he's just informed him that he doesn't need to apologise for that, only if he gets hurt. If anything, Suri should be saying thank you to him for bowling there.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from that man. In great form and pleasure to be around. Know who said it this week, but I do believe someone has actually emailed in to hello@plowmancc.com and answered the who said it of last week, Liam.
It was the who said it about Leo's mum getting lucky. And friend of the show, Matt Hickson, has emailed us in to guess that it was Grant Student who said that. And can we reveal whether that's right or not? Do we actually know who it was?
I don't actually know. In fact, I was a little bit repulsed. So maybe Grant, student, needs a few more lessons in ethics.
Well, we're assuming it's him.
If it was
him, it's him.
If allegedly,
Grant, if you want to
no slander.
If you want to clear your name on the Thanks for Coming podcast, if this was not you,
guilty until proven innocent.
Guilty until proven innocent. Email us in on hello@plowmancc.com and clear your name.
And if Leo wants to let us know his thoughts on this ongoing debate, he's also welcome to get in touch. He knows. Any other correspondence that we've had this week?
We've got an email from Ainsley.
Yes.
Best friend of the show, Ainsley.
The best.
And it's a brief email. And Ainsley says, good day, Liam. I just finished listening to the latest podcast and it was excellent. Well done to everyone. Thanks for getting in touch, Ainsley. Best friend of the show. Glad you're still enjoying it.
I love that from him. Love that from him. Can't wait for his bucket list tour across to us. But that's not coming up next weekend. What is, Liam?
We've got three friendlies on Saturday. We're playing Star CC. We've got our famous fixture at Morden on Sunday, where I believe Fred and Ben are both playing for Morden. And on Sunday, again, it's a team that we've got a bit of history with, a bit of rivalry with. So SW United CC.
Three friendlies, one on the Saturday, two on the Sunday. We're into September. There's lots to play for in lead wicket takers, leading run takers. Lots of people looking at burgling trophies, De Rey Pretorius perhaps. So I'm expecting to see lots of availability, lots of guys enjoying as much cricket as they can. We're in a heatwave, Plough. Get that sun cream on and go wow.
Yeah, there's lots of fun to be had out there. Winter's coming. Get out there, represent the Plough, get your Plowman's baggy on. We love to see it. So I'm going to finish up there. I'd like to thank my handsome and enthusiastic co-host, Matt Spencer. Thanks for today.
Thanks, Leon. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to thank Ashish Paul for his insight into that league victory. I'd like to thank Max. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me. Absolute honour and a privilege.
Thank you. And Freddie, all the way from Africa, thanks very much for coming.
Yeah, thanks, mate. That was loved that. That was really good fun.
To our listeners out there, we're nothing without you. Thanks for coming, guys.
This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Do Plowman CC. Plough on, guys. Thank you too much.
No, we didn't win the league by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolney bouncer. We've been for six. So.
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.
If you are still listening, thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate you listening to the end of this podcast. And if you enjoyed the story about Tony Hadley, let us know at hello@plowmancc.com, because we're not sure how many people stay to the end. So just send us a little wave, say hello, and just remember, you are gold. Gold.